American Public Media.
This is Marketplace Money from American Public Media. I'm Tess Vigeland in for Kai Rizdahl. Time to revisit our investment club in Seattle. Earlier in the show, we talked with Sumit Sen, Sandy Fadke, Nathan Bugia, and Chen Lim about what kind of investors they were before joining the club. Now we head back to the Vivace Coffee House to see what they've learned about where to put their money. And just to please the legal department, remember, these are amateur investors and their opinions and advice are solely for the purpose of their own investments, not for you to fluff up your nest egg. Sumit Sen started things off with a suggestion.
So before we sort of start the club today, Nate and I were talking earlier and we were discussing how we could best use our time moving to sort of an agenda, a weekly agenda, where the first part of the club, we would look at our portfolio and try to identify the 10 biggest surprises. And then we're suggesting that we split into three teams of two each, and each team take 2 to 3 stocks and delve into detail for about an hour, and then come back and present to each other.
I think that's a really good idea. I mean, I think that I thought about today, actually, was about the analysis part. So I think one thing we should try to do is to force whatever team it is to come up with a consensus opinion, whether it's a buy, sell, or hold.
I really like that idea a lot. I mean, yeah. It would be a lot of fun.
Another element I want to kind of throw in there is not just for individual stocks, but also kind of market overall. We may not have to do this every week, but maybe once a month. Like keep track of, for example, what's the Fed rate.
Just listen to Marketplace.
Yeah. Well, that's right. We could do that too.
So no doubt they followed this week's Fed decision closely. No change in interest rates. But aside from those macroeconomic indicators, I asked Chen if they tend to stick with industries they're familiar with, like technology.
I think the answer is yes. It is important to kind of leverage what you know, but don't be overconfident in that. I think that was one mistake, again, that I did. You know, I'm in technology. I know that, you know, semiconductors are the next big thing. They can never go down. Guess what? That wasn't totally true. Because there's a different reality. There's the kind of the, you know, the physical reality. Like your products may be doing very well, but for example, it might be your stock might be overpriced.
I think one thing that's happened for us, this is similar as a club, is that we've definitely expanded beyond technology, and that, in fact, one of the big things for us is being able to have the longevity to start looking at other industries and other sectors and getting smarter about other sectors.
That doesn't mean they don't invest in technology. They do. They all were looking at Overstock.com for a while, but not anymore, and for a reason most investors wouldn't even bother with: the quarterly earnings call.
There were a couple of meetings, this is Sumit, where we sat together and actually just listened to the earnings conference call as a team.
Now that sounds exciting.
Hey, some of them are pretty entertaining. There's one company actually out there that we decided not to invest in part because of the color commentary of their executive team. You know, there's a lot to be learned from actually hearing how the CEO of the company addresses investor concerns or doesn't address them. So.
Wow, so they actually lost your money as wow. Just average investors because of how they conducted the earnings call.
Yes, that's right.
For the record, it's down 75% over the 2 years.
At that point, Sumit suggested we go around the room and get a summary of what everybody's interested in buying right now. We started with Chen. His favorite? Apple.
Well, everyone knows that Apple's done very well over the last 2 years. So I guess it's not very hard to make money off a very fast, quickly, you know, rising stock. But one of the interesting things about Apple, and specifically, is that they keep their product launches very secret. So if you kind of, you know, follow the rumor side, so as to kind of what the expected, you know, releases are in a particular product cycle. So I tend to buy before these releases and kind of bank on the growth before that.
All right. Nathan?
I've been pessimistic about the market for the past 6 months or so, maybe more so than some of the other members of the club. I got out of most of my stocks, the one exception being Microsoft, which I thought at the time was being highly undervalued. Full disclosure, I work for Microsoft, so that's done very well for me.
Sandy?
Hey, this is Sandy here. So we also looked at the U.S. economy versus investing abroad. I think we only really looked seriously at India and China. In that particular regard, ICICI Bank. So we stepped out from the Chinese market, but on the Indian market, we looked at some of the services industries, and banking was one sector that would benefit unconditionally from that growth.
Yeah, there's such a large growing middle class, all these young people with all this extra cash, and they have credit needs, and they have mortgage needs, and they want to buy, you know, things and invest. That's a really big growing market, and I think the banks are going to do really well over there.
By the way, that Indian bank, ICICI, Sandy bought it at $21 a share. It's now at $42 a share. What stocks are these guys avoiding right now? For one, healthcare. They say it's really tough to figure out who's in charge within the industry. Drug companies, hospitals, managed care companies. And the auto and airline industries also get a thumbs down. Too many unanswered questions about oil prices and bankruptcies and labor woes. We'll check in with Meridian Pacific again in a couple of months to see if any of that has changed. Meanwhile, we'll head north from LA for lunch with the Investment Club in San Jose. That's in 2 weeks.